Today's shiur is dedicated by Yael and Yosef Gurevich for Zchus Rafu Shlema for Mr. and Mrs. Moshe and Elaine Rubin. Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Chaf Aleph, and we will be Ezra Hashem Yisbarach beginning on Daf Chaf Aleph Amun Aleph, the first words on Amid Tanya Nami Hachi. In our previous shiur, we had learned the Mishnah, and the Mishnah taught us that if somebody takes upon themselves a Naziris, and then somebody else hears and says, Vani, that second individual will be a Nazir. But Resh Lakish, in explaining that halacha of the Mishnah, had said that it's only valid if it was said, Toich Kdei Dibur, when the amount of time to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, of the first individual who had declared his Naziris. Because as Resh Lakish had explained in our previous shiur, all of these individuals are connecting themselves to the first person's Naziris. And if they're all connecting themselves to the first person's Naziris, the halacha will be, they for that to be effective, they will have had to say it, Toich Kdei Dibur, of that Naziris. And by extension, the Gemara had taught us, what that really means is that only three people can connect themselves. Only three people can connect themselves within that Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, because there's only time to say three words in Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. And therefore, only three people could connect themselves to that Naziris. More than that would not be effective. Says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hachi, we actually learned a Braisa that supports Resh Lakish's understanding of our Mishnah. Because the Braisa says, Misha Amma Haredi Nazir. Somebody accepts upon himself to be a Nazir. V'shama Chaveroi. And the second person also heard what the first person declared. And therefore also wants to be a Nazir. V'shaw. But he waited to declare his Nazirs. Kedei Dibur. The amount it takes to say Shama Lecha Rebbe. And only afterwards, Amar Ani, only afterwards he said that he wants to be a Nazir. The halach is hu asr, the first person is indeed a nazir. However, v'chaveri mutter, because since he said his statement after kedei dibur, it's not going to be a valid hatfasa. The kam kedei dibur, and again, the Braisa teaches us, as the Gemara did in the previous year as well, what is the length of kedei dibur? Says the Gemara, kedei shelus tamad l'rav, the amount of time it takes to say shom lecha rebbe. So here we have clear indication if the halacha is that they're being matfis in the first one, and since they're being matfis in the first one, they will have to have their declaration said within the time to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Lema Mesailei, the Gemara wants to bring another raya to the opinion of Resh Lakish from what we learned in our Mishnah. Because we learned in our Mishnah, Mishama Reni Nazir, if somebody declared that he is a Nazir. Mishama Chavei Ramani, and the next person heard what he said, and he said Vani, and then another person said Vani, they're all Nazirim. Why, points out the Gemara, did the Mishnah speak only about those two people? Vesuloi, why did the Mishnah speak about more people? Because if we're going to follow, ask the Gemara, of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said the amount of time of today Sheila Shalom is Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Meiri. So if it's Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Meiri, four people could be matvis and then their Zeris. And that's why, if the Mishnah only mentioned two, why did the Mishnah mention only such few people? It must be to teach us that the shear of Kadei Sheila Shalom is the amount of time to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, three words, not the time to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Umayri. So of course, the obvious question is, even according to Resh Lakish, that it's Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, so why did the Mishnah only speak about two people? Why did the Mishnah not say three people? Because even according to Resh Lakish, three people could be matfis. So why did the Mishnah say three? Why did the Mishnah only say two? So the Rishonim Tosfos and the Rosh both suggest as follows. They say that nobody holds that the amount of time Kadei Sheila Shalom is less than Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. So there is no difference in halacha between two and three people. Since there's no difference between two and three people, there's no need for the Mishnah to tell us about three, because there's no one that says that Shaul Melech HaRebbe is less than three people, and no one says that it's as few as two people. So of course, there is no difference between two and three, and since there's no difference between two and three, the Mishnah said two, no need to mention three. But according to Yehuda Nasiya, that wants to teach us a chiddush, that the amount of time is to say Shaul Melech HaRebbe Umayri, if the amount of time is to say Shaul Melech HaRebbe Umayri, so the Mishnah should have said four vanis to teach us that is indeed the amount of time why that you need for Shaul Melech HaRebbe Umayri, that it's not just three, but it's actually four. Answers the Gemara, Tana Kiruch Lalak Hazel. Is it the derech of the Tana to mention many names? Just like somebody who is peddling their wares. It's an often expression that's often used in Shas. Do they have to show everything? The point, the Tana did not feel the need to mention that the halacha is that the shir of Shaul Melech HaRebbe is the time to say Shaul Melech HaRebbe, K'day Shei Shalom, it's today K'day Shaul Melech HaRebbe Amayri. To him, it's obvious. So if that's the case, that the Tana is trying to avoid mentioning many names, mentioning more than is necessary, so then ask the Gemara, the listening chad. So the Tana should have only said Va'ani once. Why did it need to say more than once if we're trying to not say more than is necessary? And Lashminahani, and everything else would come automatically. Answers the Gemara, Hachinami. Indeed, the Tana could have just said the word Vani once. Mishum Dektani Sefer. So why did he mention it more than once? Says the Gemara, Mishum Dektani Sefer. Because we're going to learn the Sefer of the Mishnah. Hota Rishon, that if the first person's Naziris falls, as we explained in our previous year, that the first Naziris, he was matter the Neder, he was matter the Naziris, that Loch is Hutru Kulon, then all the following Naziris that were connected to it, to connect it to that first Naziris, fall as well. However, on the other hand, Huta Achron, if the last Naziris fell, the Aloch is Achron Mutter, the last Naziris falls, but doesn't affect the earlier Naziris, the Kulan Asurim, Mechlal, when you use the word the Kulan, it means there must be more than just two. Mechlal the Ikem Tsoi, there must be at least three people, and in order to reference those three people, Mishum Hachik Tani, that's why our Mishnah said Vani, Vani. Not to tell us how many people you get to say Shom, to do Shele Shalom. That isn't the discussion of our Mishnah. The discussion of our Mishnah is just to teach us the halacha, how people are or aren't connected to each other. The Sefer Halicha Shleima discusses this situation where somebody said Krishma before davening. He was concerned that his tefillah, his davening, the time for Krishma will have passed, and he wants to say Krishma before this man Krishma, and he said Krishma before davening with the kavana that he wants to kaim the mitzvah. But then he realized that this man Krishma is later, and he could be able to say Krishma with the Birkas Krishma in the davening, which is, of course, the preferable way of saying Krishma. The question is, if he has kavana after having finished said the Krishma, toik de dibra of the Krishma, that he wants to be not be yoytzu with that Krishma. The question is that going to be considered halachically acceptable, and it will be as if he didn't say Krishma. So he says, if our sugya is teaching us there's a concept of toik de dibra, the halacha is the Toik de Dibra is applied in all situations of halacha, and therefore in this case, you will be able to be yoytza, that kavana will be effective, and it will be like he didn't say Krishma, and then I'll say it later properly. The Pri Chadosh discusses an interesting shaila. This is the Pri Chadosh in Yerideus Simen Yutes Sifkotan Dalad. It says that there are many places that the Muslims accept kosher shchita. But even though they accept the kosher shchita, they require that the shochet, before he shechs the animal, should say, Alav Achbar. So what happened was that he said the bracha. We know before shochet does shechita, he makes a bracha. And then he said these words, is it considered a hefsek or not? Because it's not the amount of time of saying, it's only two words. And we're learning that Tarkadei Dibur, even the smallest shear of Tarkadei Dibur is three words. So since he only said two words, it's not considered, says the Pasa Shulchan, a hefsek between the bracha and the Maisa Shechita. And there's an interesting discussion by the Rogat Shava and the Shaz Chuvas Tzofnas Paneach. If somebody in the middle of Shemon Esrei or middle of Krishma declares the words Ribbono Shel Olam, or in Yiddish, Heil Gibbeth Shefer, is that considered a hefsek? And he says, yes, it is considered a hefsek, but Digris Moshe, Moshe and Arachayim, Heil Gimel Simon Ches, says that in general, that the halacha is, one is supposed to say the nusach, the way Chazal established the nusach, and even if we'll be able to halachically say that it's not considered a hefsek, even though we'll be able to say that halachically, it will not change the reality that he should not have made a hefsek in the middle of his tefillah. And Ramesh writes that in the tshuva, the word tzaddikim, who when they davened, did do so. He says tzaddikim have different type of kavana, and we can't model our actions, which should be completely based on the halacha, based on what they did. Ibailahu. So now they ask the question in the understanding of our Mishnah, the fundamental understanding of our Mishnah. Ibailahu. We learned in our Mishnah that the first person made a declaration, he said Hareni Nazar. And then a group of people said Vani. How does the halacha look at this situation? Does the halacha look at the situation as Chad b'chavri mitvus? Everybody is saying Vani is really connecting themselves to the person before him. Or Dilma was everybody connecting themselves to Kama matvus. And the nafkamina will be very obvious. The nafkamina that we've been learning in our shir. If they're all connecting themselves to the first individual who declared Hareni Nazir, then the declaration of Ani would only be valid toich kdei dibur of the first person's declaration. If however we're saying that everybody's connecting themselves just to the person before them, if they're only connecting themselves to the person before them, then the halacha is very different. Because then I have enough time. As long as I said a toich kdei dibur of the person before me, it doesn't make a difference how much time elapsed from when the first person made the declaration till the last person made the declaration. Says the Gemara, as we just said, l'mayin naftamina l'tfusei umezel. Could we continue having many people being matris? Yeah, amrit chad b'chadrei matris. If we'll say that everybody is connecting themselves to the person before them, so then the halacha would be matvin vazin la'olam. We could continue this indefinitely. However, the amrit the kamen matvis would say they're only connecting themselves to the first person. Then the halacha would be tfei michtei diba loy matvisin. If when I said vani, it's already past the period of time of tarkadei dibur, the halacha would be it would be too late for me to be matvis in that individuals. And then shir is either shalom alecha rebbe, or it would be shalom alecha rebbe umayri. Tashma. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof to this question, an answer to this question, from the words of our Mishnah. And our Mishnah said, Hareni Nazir, if somebody said Hareni Nazir, v'shama chaver v'am vani. And the next person said vani, v'su loy midi. So why, it says the Gemara, was the Mishnah so specific in only saying that many people connected themselves with Ani, Shmamina, because the Mishnah ostensibly is teaching us that the people who are saying the Vani are connecting themselves to the first person, because if the halacha looks at it as chad b'chavri mitzvus, that I'm connecting myself to the person before me, then listening to Vani Why am I limiting myself to just Tuvani? It could be a long list, like we said before. It could be a definite list, says the Gemara. Tana, that's not a raya. Tana, kiruch lelech shvayzel. Is it the style of the Tana that has to mention all the people? The Tana's goal here is not just to mention how many times you could say the word vani. So if that's the case, asked the Gemara, why did the Mishnah have to say it even twice? V'lisnichad, if all the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that hatfasa works, so you could accomplish teaching that by one person saying Haireni Nazir, you could accomplish teaching that halacha by one person saying Haireni Nazir, and the next person saying Vani. V'lishmin and Kulan will know that that's the halacha. Answers the Gemara. I did the Tana Kula, we had this teretz earlier, because we want to learn in the safe of our Mishnah, the Hota Risha Hota Kulon, Hota Achron, Achron Motav Kulon Asurim. So obviously, Mechlal, Deika, and Tsoi, that there has to be a third person. That's why the Mishnah spoke about Shemach Tani Vani Vani. That's why the Mishnah had to say the word Vani Vani twice. Not because it wanted to teach us how many Vani you could have, because it could very well be that you could have an indefinite number of a vani. What the Mishnah is trying to teach us is the halacha about people's naziris who are connected to each other. How does the effect? How does the status of one naziris affect the status of the next naziris? Toshma. So Gemara continues to try to answer this question. How does the halacha look at this atfasa? Is it atfasa into the first individual, or is it hatfasa to the person who said the naziris before you? Toshma, the Mishnah says, Hutra Rishon, if the first person's naziris became mutter, Hutra Kulon. So what do we see? Rishon, only if the first person's naziris falls away, then Hudashara, all the other naziris are also going to fall away. Ha, Emtsoi, if the middle person's naziris falls away, that doesn't affect the naziris of the person after him. Why not? Because this person after him did not connect his naziris to the person before him. The person who said the naziris, the number three individual, connected his naziris, the kamei mitzvasim. He connected his naziris to the first person. And therefore, since he connected the naziris to the first person, and as long as his naziris stands, that's why that person's naziris stands. Says the Gemara, that isn't necessarily the way to understand the Mishnah. Emeloch, I could well explain that the Mishnah, Loilam Chad B'Chavri Metris, everybody connects his naziris to the person before him. But I did a Mishnah L'Boil Kulan, that the Mishnah wanted to teach us the halacha, that if the first person's naziris falls away, then everybody else's naziris falls as well. Ditanam Tsoi, so if the Mishnah gave us an example that the middle person's naziris fell away, so then Emer Rishon D'Lo Mishtri. Even if we'll say that everybody connects his naziris to the person before him, so if the person in the middle said it naziris and his naziris becomes nullified, the first person will still be in the nazir. So Malchik Tani, to teach us the case that everybody's naziris falls away, is in a case when the Rishon nullified his naziris. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it has no bearing on the question that we are discussing. How do we learn that fossa? Toshma. So we learned in the Mishnah, we said, Huta Achron, if the last person on the list, Naziris, is nullified, Daloch is Achron Mutter, his Naziris falls away, V'kul Asurim, D'Lay Ikra Achrin Basrei, because there's no one that followed him, he's the last on the line. Avlam Tsoi, but the middle person, Dik Achrin Basrei, that if the middle person's naziris falls, so does the person who follows him. If his naziris becomes nullified, mystery, then the halacha is that the person after him, naziris will fall. Shema Mino, isn't this clearly an indication? The Chad B'Chavrei Mitzvos, that everybody connects the naziris to the person before him, because the fact that the Mishnah didn't say that the middle person's naziris falls away, that the halacha will be that who mutter, that he's mutter v'kulam asurim, and everybody afterwards is still asur. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? If the halacha, this is Tosfos Pshat, if the halacha indeed were that everybody's connecting themselves to the first person, and therefore even if the second person had his naziris nullified, it will only be relevant to him, not to the person after him, the Mishnah should have said so. The fact that the Mishnah didn't say so is an indication that everybody's connected to the person before him. And therefore, if the second person's Naziris falls, it will affect the person after him. Answers the Gemara, this is again not a compelling proof. Because L'Olam Emelach, we could explain the Mishnah, the Bekamim Mitzvah. Again, that everybody's connecting themselves to the first person. And therefore, if the middle person's Naziris becomes nullified, it only applies to him. It does not apply to the people following him. My Achron Diktani, what is the word Achron that the Mishnah says? Emtsoi, that the Achron sometimes is called the middle person. And what the Mishnah is saying is that if his Naziris falls, it doesn't affect the person before him. Why is he called Achron? Because I did the Tani Rishon. Because first the Mishnah spoke about the first person who made a Naziris, and the Mishnah called him the Rishon. Then the Mishnah, when it speaks about the second Pasuk, calls the person after him Achron, even though he isn't necessarily the last person on the line. And the Rishash says there's a Pasuk in the Torah that is understood the same way as well. The Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu came to greet Esav, the Pasuk says, V'yosim as a shvachas v'asiyodeim rishayna, v'slei v'yodei achroinim, v'srach v'asyoisev achroinim. So even though Leah and her children were not the last people online, the Pasuk clearly indicates that Rachel and Yosef were the last people online. It doesn't prevent the Pasuk from calling Leah and her children, who were really them tzoyim, who were in the middle of the line, giving them the title achroinim. So again, we still have our original question: how does the halacha look at that fossil? Tashma, so Gemara brings a raya from an explicit brisa. The Tanya behedya hota rishon. If we have a list, a line of people who connected the naziris one to the other, so the halacha is hota rishon. If the first person's naziris is nullified, hotra kulan. Hotra achron, ha'achron mutar, the last person's naziris indeed will fall away, v'kulan asurim. But then the brisa continues, hotra amtsoi, if somebody in the middle of the line, naziris falls, himenu lamata, anyone who fouls him, naziris will be mutar, because he connected his naziris to the person who's directly before him. Ulamala, but anybody before the person who was matah's naziris will be asur. So shmamina, this brisa clearly is an indication, the chad b'chad very matris, that the way that fossa works is not that they're all going back to the first person, rather they're all connecting themselves to the person before them. Shmamina, the Mishnah is this brisa is an explicit proof how that fossa works. That doesn't change the halacha that we began the shiur with. That even though the atfasa is always with the person before you, you still have to make sure to do the atfasa in the shir of Tarkadei Dibur, according to Rish Lakish, the shir to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shir to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Amiri. We learned further in the Mishnah, if somebody said Hareni Nozir, V'shama Chaveri V'ama Pi Kapiv, V'sarei Kesarei, so we learned in the Mishnah that that's considered a declaration of Naziris. Ask the Gemara, Mishum dama pi kapiv asari kasara haray nazir. That is that enough to make him into a nazir? For many, but ask the Gemara, is that enough to make somebody into a nazir? We learned in a braisa, if somebody says yodi nazira, that my hand should be a nazir. Ragli nazir, my feet should be a nazir. The halacha is, lo'ama klum, it's not a valid declaration of naziris. However, if somebody said roishi nazira, my head, kvedi nazira, my liver, harez and nazir. It is a valid declaration of naziris. Why? Because if you connect the naziris to davish and neshama d'tloyba, that you can't exist, you can't survive without that. So then we understand why it's a naziris. Because it's as if you're saying that you in your entirety are going to be a nazir. But if you connected your naziris to an aver ein haneshama t'loiba, that your existence doesn't depend on that aver, so then your entire existence doesn't follow that aver. And since your entire existence doesn't follow that aver, it's not a valid declaration of Naziris. If that's the case, ask the Gemara, if somebody spoke about piv, or somebody, his mouth, or somebody spoke about his hair, which are certainly not parts of one's body that his existence depends on, why is that considered a valid acceptance, a declaration of Naziris? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda. What do we understand is that what the person meant to say, my mouth should be like his mouth, and just like his mouth, because he's a Nazir, may not drink wine, therefore I can't be yotza with his bracha, with his, I can't drink wine either. And what I meant to say was, sorry, that my hair should be kasara melagos, that the halacha is that the Nazir, that's why it's considered a valid declaration of Naziris. But it's only, says Rashi, if he said pi kapiv, miyain, by saying it that clearly, it's clearly an indication is that I want to be in the Nazir. But just saying pi kapiv, Rashi seems to say it would not be considered a valid Naziris. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says we shouldn't change from what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that pi kapiv is a valid declaration of Naziris, and the word miyayin is not necessary, because it's understood that that's what I meant to say. Tosfos asks a question. We've learned numerous times in our Masechta, the machlokes of Rav Shimon Rabbanan, that if somebody only takes on one of the halachos of Naziris, then the Rabbanan say he's considered a full-fledged Nazir, whereas Rav Shimon says, if you only take on one of the halachos of a Nazir, you will not be a Nazir. So ask Tosfos, even if the person said explicitly, pi kapiv miyayin, he's only taking on one of the halachos of Naziris. And Rav Shimon says that if you only take on one of the halachos of a Nazir, you're not a Nazir. Why would this person be a Nazir? So the Achrayim explain that the answer to this question is that the first person said Hareini Nazir, and I say Pi Kapiv. What Pi Kapiv accomplishes is not that I say Pi Kapiv Miyayin. Doesn't mean to say that I'm only making myself a Nazir from Yayin. I'm connecting myself to his declaration where he said Hareini Nazir. And when somebody says, of course, Hareini Nazir, then the halach is that that's considered a valid declaration of Naziris. When I say Pi Kapiv, I'm connecting myself to his declaration of Hareini Nazir, which certainly in such a case, even Rav Shimon would agree that I am to be considered a full-fledged Nazir. We've been speaking the halachas of Tarkadei Dibur. The halacha is that if I hear somebody make a bracha, and I have kavana to be yotze with his bracha, and he has kavana to be mitzi me with his bracha, so I can be yotze with that bracha. But what would be our halacha if somebody made a bracha? Now we know, if somebody, for example, is making bracha on food that he's going to eat, if he speaks after he makes the bracha, then that bracha becomes invalidated, and he has to make a bracha again. Now the question is, I, who connected myself to his bracha, and I said, I'm being yotze with his bracha, like we just learned. He's having kavanah to be mitzi me. But I was not mafsik. I did not say anything in between the bracha and the eating of the food. Will I also have to make a bracha again? The Prima Gadim says that I wouldn't have to make a bracha again. The Chik Kelev, however, says that of course I would have to make a bracha again. I'm relying on the bracha of the person who made that bracha. And if that bracha is invalidated, it seems that my bracha ought to be invalidated again. And this goes back to an issue that we spoke about in the previous year. The question is, how does the halacha look at Shemei Ka'ina? Does the halacha look at Shemei Ka'ina as if I actually made the bracha? So the fact that the person who made the bracha, his bracha got invalidated, has nothing to do with me? Or I'm relying on his bracha. And since I'm relying on his bracha, if his bracha falls, my bracha falls. The Mishnah discussed if somebody said, Hareini Nazira, the Shama Baal of Amma Vani. A woman declared that she's going to be a Nazir, and then her husband said, Vani. The halacha is, Eni Yachal Hafer. The husband can no longer be made for the Naziris Ishtai. Ibailahu. So they asked the following question, which we discussed previously in our shiurim. When the Torah, as we discussed so extensively in Masechet Nedarim, gave the authority to a husband to be made for the Nedarim of his wife, how does the halacha look at that? Does the halacha look at it as if the Baal is maker ukur? He completely uproots that declaration as if it never existed? Or Dilma Megas Gaius, it's only Mikan Lahaba, only going further, not backwards. What was, he doesn't undo. Ask the Gemara Lamai Nafkamina, what is the Nafkamina in understanding the mechanics of Afara? Says the Gemara Leish Shanadr Ben Nazir, the case is where a woman accepted upon herself the Naziris, for Shama Chaverta, and the next person said, heard her and said Vani. And now, Shama Baalashal Rishayna, the husband of the first woman who made this declaration, heard about that declaration, the Hefila, was made for the Naziris. E Amrit, if we're going to say that the way we look at a husband's hafara is maker ukur, that he completely undoes her declaration, so that means that the first woman turns out was never a nazir. If it turns out that she was never a nazir, hahi nami ishtari, the one who connected herself to that naziris will also not be a nazir. However, Iamrit, if we're going to say what the husband accomplishes is megas gaius, that all the husband does is make that moving forward, the naziris is not there. But not that it's as if there was never a naziris in the first place. So there was a naziris in the first place. And if there was a naziris in the first place, then the halacha is e ishtri. So indeed, the first woman no longer has to keep a naziris because her husband was made for that naziris. But chaverta, the one who connected herself to that naziris, the halacha will be, can be made, the next person, naziris, will still stand. Because the original naziris was not completely uprooted. As we've learned, there are two different concepts when we speak about the nullification of a naziris. There's afara and there's hatara. The Rush points out that these two concepts are not interchangeable. Hatara means retroactive nullification, as we often discuss in our shiurim. What it means is that the chacham, the rav, makes the nether or the naziris into a mistake, and never was it a naziris. Whereas hafara, we're not sure. The Beis Halevi asks that why is that true? If the fact that the Rosh says that hatara and hafara are not interchangeable terms, isn't that clearly an indication, asked the Beis Halevi, that hafara doesn't work as hatara does? Because if hafara were to work as hatara, why can't these terms be interchanged? Answers the tziv, that even if we'll say that hafara is something that works retroactively, hatara and hafara are still not interchangeable. Because hatara, as we just said, is only in a case where you went to the Rav and you told the Rav, I made a mistake. We spoke about Yad Charata, you regret. You come up with a reason, a Pesach, you say, had you known that this would be the circumstances, you would have never made the nether. And the Rav then is not the nether. And as we just said, he retroactively nullifies the nether. Hafara has nothing to do with what the person who made the nether's feeling is. As we learned, hafara is completely dependent on the authority of the husband. If the husband, or in certain circumstances, the father decide to be made for the nether, the nether is mufar. So what we're learning from here is that hatara and hafara work in a very different way. And since hatara and hafara work in a different way, even if they both work retroactively, it's still very different. Dar Sameach answers the Beis Levi's question differently. He says that in general, of course, says the Or Sameach, a husband's hafara is only mikan al haba, not retroactively. He says, what's the proof? He says, the fact that we learned in Masechta Nedarim, that a husband, that the Torah only authorizes a husband to nullify certain Nedarim, Devarim Shebeinoi Lebeino, things that affect their personal relationship, Nedarim of Inui Nefesh, that represent Nedarim that cause the wife physical stress, that fact that the Torah limits the type of Nedarim that a husband can be made for is a proof that it's only Mekana Lahaba. He says the entire conversation that we're having in our discussion, in our shir, if Baal Maker Oker Megas Gaius, is only regarding Naziris. Because he explains that since we've learned that Naziris is always going to be 30 days, and if the husband is made for the Naziris in the middle of the term, so then she's not keeping a 30-day Naziris. But so let's say he's made for on day 15. That's not a halachically acceptable possibility, because we know that a Naziris always has to be 30 days. So that's why maybe by Naziris, asked the Gemara, the husband, when he's made for Naziris, because of the unique halachas that come with Naziris, the Naziris is mufar retroactively. But by all other Nedarim, there is no question, says the Or Sameach, that the husband's only mefer mikana lahaba. And now we can very well understand why the Rosh teaches us that the terminology of hatara and hafara cannot and should not be interchanged. So no matter how we learn the question, if we learn it strictly regarding Naziris, or is it regarding all Nedarim that a wife makes? And the Gemara wants to know, what are the mechanics of a husband's hafara? Is it me'ekar okar or megas gaius? Mai, what is the halacha? Tashma, so the Mishnah brings a ray from our Mishnah. A Mishnah said, if a woman declared hareni nazira, the shama balava mani, and her husband hears what she says and he says vani, the halacha is eni yachal hafer. Because by being made for her naziris, he'll be made for his own Naziris as well. Why is he being made for his own Naziris as well? Because he connected his Naziris to her Naziris. Now, that is physically impossible. Why is that halachically impossible? Because the Torah says, lo yachal devaroi, that a person cannot be the one to undo his neder. So the halach is, hu ein amechel, a person can never undo his own neder, only acherim, only other people, the Rabbonim, can be matter his nether. But now, if his Naziris is connected to her Naziris, and if he's going to be made for her Naziris, his Naziris will fall as well. So we end up with a situation that he is being matter his own Naziris, which halachically is impermissible. But says the Gemara, Isal Gadatach, Baal Megas Gaius, if we're going to say when a husband is made for the nether, the Naziris, it's only going moving forward, not retroactively. So why, when he's made for her Naziris, is it going to be considered as if he's being made for his own Naziris, which we just said is halachically impermissible? Why shouldn't we say, let him be made for his wife's Naziris, which is only moving forward, but the original Naziris was still there, and therefore since the original Naziris, because it's only Megas Gaius, so since the original Naziris is still there, so his Naziris is connected to that Naziris, and his Naziris will continue, Vulitzer. The fact that the Mishnah says you can't do it because of this reasoning is clearly an indication, El Alav Shmamino, that what the husband does with the Hafara is that he's maker ochre. He's entirely retroactively nullifying the Naziris, and if that Naziris falls, his Naziris falls, which can't be a halachically permissible situation. Says the Gemara Lloyd, the Mishnah is not a raya. The Loyla Megas Gaius. We can't say that the mechanics of a husband's hafara is Megas Gaius. And therefore, but then who? The Leifalai. He should be able to be made for her Naziris, and it won't affect his Naziris. So why did the Mishnah say, Vahanatam the Loy Matsu Mefer? Why did the Mishnah say it can't be done? Kim the Amalei Vani. The Mishnah says there's a different point to be made. As soon as the husband says the word vani, The Mishnah considers it command to kaim lechidami, as if he confirmed has naziris, ha naziris. And as we've learned in Masech Nedarim, once a husband confirms his wife's naziris, he can no longer be mefilit. But indeed, imichal kamasai, if he'll go and now have charota, he'll go be shoyl on that confirmation, matzah mefer, then he could be mefer, viloi. But if he won't, loy matzah mefer. So the issue in our Gemara is not an issue about the husband's naziris connected to her naziris, and how could he be mefer his own naziris. The issue is this considered, is by him saying vani, is this considered an act of akama, which we know that once you make him a neder, once a husband is making the neder, it cannot be mufar anymore. So the Gemara doesn't have an answer. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from a Mishnah we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Isha Shenadra Ben Nazir, a woman declared Naziris, V'frishes Behemta, and she designated the animals that she has to bring at the end of Naziris, a Kifsa L'chatos, a Kevis L'Oyla, and an Ayel L'Shlomim. And then, Achka Chayf L'Bala. And then the husband is made for the Naziris. Es Shaloi, Im Shaloi. So now the question is, what happens with these animals? So says the Mishnah, Im Shaloi Haysa Behema, if the animals that she designated belong to the husband, so Taitza Tirva Eda, the animal is not Hegdish, it's Chulin. So since the husband was made for the Nether, so she was never a Nazira. If she was never a Nazira, she was never chayiv in the kabbonis. And even though the way the Rishonim explained this Mishnah is that the husband gave the wife the right that ever she has to bring a carbon, she could take from his animals kabbonis. But the only time she could take those animals as a carbon is only if she has to bring a carbon. But now that he was mefer in the Naziris, so she was never allowed to take those animals for a carbon, it turns out that those animals were never kabbonis. And therefore, since those animals were never kabbonis, they're chulin, they could go back to where they came from. However, im shaloi ha'isa behema, if the animals that she was mafresh belong to her, and of course, the Rush points out, how could a wife have her own animals? Isn't there a halacha that kol mashakani isha kanabala? So Rush points out, it's referring to a case which we've had where somebody gave money or animals to a woman, a wife, and they said, Amanash ain labalach reshuspa, with the stipulation that your husband can't have any connection to it. So these are her animals. So the halacha is, chatos, the animal that she had designated as a carbon, chatos tamis. Because the halacha is that she can't bring the carbon chatos as an adava. You can't bring a carbon chatos as a donation. And this animal was designated as a carbon chatos, but it's going to be an animal that was designated as a carbon chatos that can't be brought. And a carbon animal that was designated for carbon chatos that can't be brought, the halacha is tamus, that animal is left to die. Visakadatach. But ask the Gemara, if we're saying that when a husband is mefer in the Naziris, what he's doing is balameka ochr, he's completely uprooting the original Naziris. So when she designated this animal as a karma chattis, it was completely based on a mistake because she was never in the Naziris. And if she never was in the Naziris, then the halach is that animal never became a karma chattis. Elav shmamino. So must be that that's not what the husband does. From here we have a raya that the Baal Megas Gaius. And from here we interestingly see a halacha that if a person made himself into a Nazir and designated the animals that a Nazir has to bring, and then afterwards went to a Rav and was matted a Neder, those animals that were designated are not anymore considered a carbon and they can be treated like chulin. Answer to Gemara, it's not a compelling raya. Loilam emalach baal meka akar. Behind the tama, why is the reason that the karm chatas goes lamisa? Given the loitzricha kapara, since she doesn't need this carbon. So often in Shas, we speak about chamish chatas amesis. There are five situations that a karm chatas is left to die. And one of them is chatas shemesa balea. And Gemiri Chatos Shemesa Bela Thomas. So this is like that, just like any carbon chatos that was designated. But the person who designated the carbon doesn't need a kapar anymore, because let's say the person who designated the carbon died, or let's say the person who designated the carbon had a kapara with a different animal. So there's a special halacha l'moshim in Sinai that that animal is left to death. And that is the case here too. That the animal, that since this woman's naziris was mufra, it's as if she had a kapara, and that's why there's a special halacha l'moshim in Sinai that the animal is put to death. Nothing to do with the lumdus of how that fara works. Toshma, there's a mishnah we're going to learn in Daf Chaf Gimel. Amen Aleph. The mishnah says, Isha Shanadi ben Nazar, a woman that accepted upon herself Naziris, and she was violating her Naziris. She was drinking wine, but Tamil Mason, Harezu Sophagus as Abom, she gets Malchus because she violated her Naziris. Ask the Gemara, Hechidam Ilay Midalayhe Filabal, if it's a woman who accepted upon herself Naziris, and the Naziris was kept, the husband never nullified it, Tzrich Lameima, of course, any Nazir who deliberately violates his Naziris gets Malchus. El B'shita the Hefel Abal. It must be that the husband was made for it. But as says the Gemara, Isak Adatach Baal Me'akakar, that the husband completely uproots the Naziris, Amai Sofegas Zaboyim, why would she get Malchus? She was never a Nazir, and she doesn't get Malchus if she never did an Avera. Elash Maminah, it must be the Mal Begas Gaius, and that's why what she violated the Naziris before the husband was made for the Naziris, it's considered a full violation of Naziris, and if she did it deliberately, she's Chayav Malchus. Says Merle Oilam Baal Mekakar. The halacha is that the husband completely uproots the Naziris. So if so, what's the Malchus? Shumdek Tani Sefer. That Mishnah teaches us, Heifel Baal V'Hilo Yoda. If the husband was made for the Naziris and she didn't know, and she still drank wine, she doesn't get Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda says that she does get Malchus, because even though she actually wasn't doing an Avera, but she in her mind was doing an Avera. So because the Mishnah teaches us that when she actually didn't do an Avera, she doesn't get Malchus, according to Chamim. Tani Reisha, not Reisha Safegis, that if the husband wasn't made for the Naziris, so she did violate the Naziris, in a case where she actually did violate the Naziris, the Mishnah is telling us, even though of course it doesn't represent a Chiddush, that she gets Malchus. But that indeed is not a Chiddush, it's only mentioned because of the Sefer, where the Chachamim say where in her mind she violated the Naziris, but she actually did not really violate the Naziris, because unbeknownst to her husband was made for the Naziris, she wouldn't get Malchus.